It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Wormley, joined today by Derek Brown and Pat Fitzmaurice, D-Bro and Fitz of Fantasy Pros fame. Just to quickly get the Twitter handles out of the way, D-Bro is at D-Bro underscore FFB. Fitz is at Fitz underscore FF. I am at Ryan Wormley. Fitz, it's actually been a little while since you and I have been on the mics together. Obviously, we see each other in the background, day-to-day, working together, but we haven't been on the mics together in a while. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Ryan. Yeah, we have no Big Ten basketball or football to talk about right now. But yeah, man, it's great to be back on the show with you. Looking forward to talking to you and D-Bro about wide receivers who are going to be stars this year.
Yeah, man, it's the worst time of year because not only is there no football and no fantasy, although you do get the dynasty drafts, and we, of course, just had ours in our work league with the three of us, but also no Big Ten sports. So we'll get back to that soon enough. D-Bro, I do, broadcast with you a little more regularly, but how are you doing?
Doing good. I'm just glad that we're limiting the amount of terp takes that we're going to have on the podcast today. So that's always a good starter.
You know, we're talking about wide receiver ones. There's a couple pretty good Terps wide receivers I would like to point out. We're also going to be talking about some rookies later on in the show. We're mostly focusing on the young guys here with this show, you know, guys in years 1, 2, or 3. There are some Terps rookies. None of them are going to be on our list, of course, as future wide receiver ones, but there's some talent out there. Yeah, let's jump into the show. Today's show is all about finding who's got next as wide receiver ones this upcoming year. It's powered by an interesting article from Sam Reiner last year named Identifying the Next Wide Receiver Ones. And he shares some interesting stats in the article that I wanted to kind of preface the show with. Number one, from 2012 to 2021, there were an average of more than 7 different wide receiver ones in PPR formats year over year. So you can't just assume that last year's wide receiver ones will stay wide receiver ones. Also, during that same span, 34% of wide receiver ones first reached that mark in their third season, 20% do it in their second season, 16% do it all the way in their fifth season, and 11% do it as rookies. To reiterate, that's over 50% of all players that become wide receiver ones at some point do so for the first time as second or third year players. And also, this article may be a year old at this point. It's from last year, but that gives us now the luxury to look back and see the players that Sam was right on based on this analysis. For example, last year, some of the players that he correctly speculated had wide receiver one potential, guys like CeeDee Lamb, Devonta Smith, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Christian Kirk, all players that he had listed in his article. So I would encourage everyone listening to go check it out for a deeper dive sort of on the stats behind this. But we're going to be talking about potential wide receiver one breakouts. Again, we're going to go year 3, then year 2, then we're going to rank the rookies as far as who we think could get there. It was a long-winded intro. I think everybody's on the same page of what we're doing here today. So we'll jump right in. And D-Bro, I am just going to spoil the first one that you were talking about. It is Devonta Smith, who I just mentioned. Now, he has been a wide receiver one already. He did it in year 2. But he was kind of at the back end of that. He was wide receiver 10 last year in half PPR scoring. So I will give you a little leeway here and let you talk about why you think he can take even more another step forward.
Well, I'm not classifying him as a wide receiver one because I go by points per game and not totals. So he was wide receiver 14 and looking at it from that perspective. So I think we could see another jump forward for Devonta Smith. If you look at what he did last year, I mean, first of all, let's get this out the way. Everybody wondered and questioned whether Jalen Hurts could support one top option in fantasy last year, much less two or three. We have that answered emphatically last year. We saw what A.J. Brown did. Devonta Smith was a wide receiver 14 in fantasy points per game. And if you look at how this target tree evolved over the year, Devonta Smith played an entirely different role than he did in his rookie season and previously. He was a field stretcher prior to A.J. Brown's arrival. Last year, 42% of his targets came within 9 yards of the line of scrimmage. So we're talking about a high-volume guy. And after week 11, he actually bested A.J. Brown in target share and air yard share, 30% and 37% of the target share and air yard percentage. And you had A.J. Brown sitting at 28 and 36%. Much less if we even go back and look at week 16 and 17, because I know that people are sitting out there and they're like, well, Dallas Goedert was out for part of that. So we have to shade Devonta Smith because there was no Dallas Goedert. Week 16 and 17 with Dallas Goedert and A.J. Brown there, Devonta Smith had almost a 38% target share. The talent is there, guys. A.J. Brown is the number one, but Devonta Smith could be the number two. And actually outproduce him in fantasy this season. And I don't think it's crazy at all.
Do you worry about the loss of Shane Steichen as offensive coordinator?
No, I'm not worried about that. Because if you're looking at the rest of this Philly coaching staff is basically just shifting around dominoes. All these guys, and Nick Sirianni being an offensive-minded head coach, he's in those rooms as far as coming up with play designs, the offensive structure. So if this was a team that was headed by like a defensive-minded head coach, I'd have a little more pause on that.
Before we get to the rest of the future stars at wide receiver, I want to ask the listeners, are you looking to dominate your dynasty league? If so, come level up your game with the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Draft Kit at fantasypros.com/dynasty. You'll get dynasty startup and rookie rankings, trade targets, position primers, and even more in-depth rookie analysis, all for free. Premium subscribers can also view exclusive strategy articles and enter our Discord community, which provides direct access to analysts through AMAs and stages. Don't miss out. Visit fantasypros.com/dynasty today and build your winning dynasty roster. And also go listen to and subscribe to Fitz on the Dynasty podcast show that we have here with Fantasy Pros. Fitz, give me your first wide receiver, third year wide receiver that you're looking at as a wide receiver one breakout.
It is Kadarius Toney. And I get pretty excited about this guy. I know there are probably some people rolling their eyes right now, but Kadarius Toney is a special player. And I'm not even saying he could be a special player. He is a special player right now because his movement skills are just so extraordinary in sort of the same way that like Barry Sanders' movement skills were extraordinary. This guy just moves like few other human beings do. He's kind of a marvel of kinesiology. And like, the way Kadarius Toney can just explode out of a stationary position like a coiled spring and then just stop on a dime, you know, sit in a zone, catch the ball, and then just explode. And by the time the defender closes on him, like there's just a vapor trail left. And like the reason people should invest in Kadarius Toney, despite the risk, which I'll get to in a minute, Toney has played 445 regular season snaps in his first 2 years in the league, and he has drawn 77 targets. So he's drawing a target on 17.3% of his snaps, and that includes running plays. Like George Pickens had a 15.3% target share last year. That was on forward passes that Pittsburgh threw. Like Toney is getting a higher share even when you factor in the running plays that he's been on the field for. So he draws targets when he's on the field because he gets so open so easily. The big risk, obviously, is that he has been fragile. And in the 2 years he's been in the league, he has had hamstring, ankle, quad, shoulder, and oblique injuries. And he's been on the COVID-19 list not once, but twice. So yes, keeping this dude on the field has been a bit of a challenge. But I mean, the potential rewards are so lucrative. And if we get something close to a 17-game season from him with Patrick Mahomes throwing in the ball and Andy Reid dialing up the plays, like I can only imagine if he plays 17 games, we're absolutely getting a wide receiver one season from Kadarius Toney. And look, I think the risk is kind of baked in. Like his ECR right now is wide receiver 41. His ADP in underdog best ball drafts is wide receiver 37. He's being drafted as a wide receiver 4. So, I mean, there's not that much risk in taking him. And if he does get hurt and you've got him in a managed league, you can pick someone up to replace him. So, like, there is definitely room for profit here and a significant profit. I mean, like, I realize Brian Daboll got sick of Tony when he was with the Giants, and, you know, that's why they decided they were going to trade him. But then Andy Reid pointed a big beefy finger at Kadarius Tony and said, I want that guy. Like, I want this guy in my offense. Told GM Brett Veach to go out and get him, and they've got him. And now I'm just excited to see what he can do in a full year in Kansas City, because, like, they didn't really fully integrate him last year. They had some gadgety stuff drawn up for him, but man, with a whole offseason, I can just think of how much fun Andy Reid has had drawing up plays for Kadarius Toney these last few months.
That's my worry, Pat. I was going to ask you, man, that's my worry with him. Do you see him getting a full-time role? And I'm I'm not crapping on it, okay? I just want to throw that out there. I like Toney's talent. I'm absolutely in on that. But do you see him taking a full-time leap, like being the full-time player? And I only ask this, man, because even like week 16 through 18, dude was like 30 to 32% of the snaps. I know his targets per route run are fantastic, all that kind of stuff. But do you see him being a full-time player? Because, like, how does that shake out? Like, is it, I mean, we know that MVS is going to run his cardio routes. Who's the other starting three guys? Like, is it Sky Moore and Tony? Is it Rice and Tony? Like, what's their starting three, Pat? Because that's the part where I struggle with it.
Yeah, I know. That's a good question, D-Bro. I mean, I want to say that it will be Kadarius, Tony, MVS, and then, man, maybe a competition between, like, Sky Moore and Rashee Rice. Mm-hmm. Maybe Rashee Rice just starts off as the wide receiver 4, because we saw how much, Sky Moore, we wanted him to fire right away, and he didn't. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe Kansas City is just a place where it's tough for rookies to take on a big role right away. But I mean, I kind of agree with you. Like, I don't think he should necessarily be a 90% snap share guy, like, you know, some of the top wide receivers are. Maybe it would be a little bit better if they managed his workload. But I do think he's going to play significantly more than he played after joining the team last year. And they just kind of, you know, had certain packages for him. Didn't play a full complement of snaps. I think that changes this year.
Have we seen, I'm trying to look back actually right now while you guys were talking, and just to make sure I'm not overlooking anybody, have we seen anybody other than Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill have anything close to a wide receiver 1 season in the Patrick Mahomes era?
I don't think we have.
Not off the top of my head.
I don't think we have.
No. Yeah.
It was extremely concentrated to those two wide receivers.
Yeah.
And after that, you're looking at a bunch of schmoes, man. Like,
yeah,
that's my worry with Kansas City altogether. It's like, I kind of feel like they've molded this offense to be like, okay, here's Kelce. He's our real one. And the rest of it is just like parts and pieces and packages and matchups and stuff like that. That's my fear. But to Pat's point, it's kind of priced into Tony's ADP right now, but the upside isn't.
That's true. Just for the record, I went through all the seasons here on Pro Football Reference, and it looks like Juju last year with 933 yards, only 3 touchdowns, is probably the best individual season any of his receiving options have had beyond Hill and Kelce, of course, who is the obvious wide receiver 1 in reality in that offense. We can move on from Tony. I think that was a good discussion on him. D-Bro, get to your next one, who's a guy you know I'm going to be happy to hear.
All right, Worm. I know I'm surprised you didn't wear a Ravens jersey here and celebrate this take with me today. So despite being a little bit disappointed by that, I'm going to sit here and give you a lot of love here.
First of all, this is an Old Bay shirt, so it essentially is a Maryland / Ravens shirt.
Nothing against Old Bay, my man. And nothing against Rashad Bateman. Like, I'm totally in on Rashad Bateman. I'm not willing to fade a guy based off of the injuries. I mean, literally, we haven't seen a fully healthy season from him. And people are like, and all the injury prognosticators out there with their crystal balls on Twitter are like, well, he can't stay healthy. Not drafting him. The talent's not a problem with Rashad Bateman. That does not even be questioned at all. Last year when we saw him on the field, and the other thing I want to point out here is even when he was out there, everybody was like, well, he's not been a full-time player. I don't think we saw a healthy version of Rashad Bateman even when he was playing last year. He only ran around on 72% of dropbacks. Like, in the context of that offense, why was he not a 100% snap player? I go back to, okay, well, he only played three games and then he was out again with the injury. I don't think he was fully healthy. But in the three-game sample we got, guys, wide receiver 34 in fantasy points per game, 18% target share, 30% air yard share. He had 3.14 yards per route run. And if you're not even familiar with that metric, that is absolutely beautiful. Like, we're usually out here touting guys as being electric, amazing, elite, if they're above the 2 mark, much less 3.1. Bateman has got the talent, and I'm not worried about a washed version of Odell Beckham Jr., who last time we saw him for the Rams, and yes, he is washed, people. I'm sorry. I like the player, but we need to sit here and call a spade here. Last time we saw him on the NFL field playing for the Rams, 15% target share. He could only muster a 20% target per route run rate at 1.25 yards per route run. So you're looking at the context of this offense, and people are like, okay, well, even if he can stay healthy, now you have Mark Andrews, now you got Zay Flowers, now you got Odell Beckham Jr. All that means is that Todd Monken is like, we're going to throw the damn ball. And Bateman is going to be the biggest beneficiary of that. Because I'm not worried about Odell Beckham fighting for targets. Zay Flowers, I love him, but he's still a rookie. So now we whittled this down to, it's Rashad Bateman and Mark Andrews. Sign me up. Rashad Bateman, yeah. Wide receiver one season.
I'm fully in on Bateman as well. The biggest thing is the Todd Monken thing, right? And you're going to hear us talk about him all summer long in our excitement for the Ravens offense. The biggest upgrade basically any team made at any spot on their roster this year is the Ravens at offensive coordinator, going from Greg Roman to Todd Monken. I don't know that I agree that like Odell is fully washed, but I do think he's like going to be the third best receiver in this offense at best. I think Bateman is going to blow him out of the water. And I think by the end of the year, if not earlier in the year, Zay Flowers will be clearly higher as well. And then obviously, of course, you have Mark Andrews too. Lamar's going to feast.
Ryan, agreed. If I gave you 11 and a half games as the total for how many Odell Beckham plays this year, are you betting over or under?
I think it's a good line. I would probably bet the under.
Under.
Yeah,
I'm going under.
I think he'll be good when he's on the field, but I think I would take the under on that. He's older. He's a guy coming off of a major injury. Like, I think you kind of, it's just like smart process to take the under on a line like that. But I think he'll be good when on the field. The one thing I will say with him too, and I know this isn't a show about Odell, I do think Lamar has a tendency to, when he's really good friends with a guy off the field, he will focus in on him on the field to a degree. It's not like he has pure tunnel vision, but he loved throwing to Hollywood, and he and Hollywood were very close friends off the field. He is close with Odell. He's the one who pushed for the Ravens to add Odell. So I do worry that early on in the year, he might force feed him a little to a degree. But again, this Todd Monken offense is going to get everybody open. It's going to spread the ball. You're going to see everybody do very well. I think Andrews is the only guy that I'm like sure is going to be like a number one at the position. But I love the bet on Bateman, especially where he'd be going in drafts. I think it's a really exciting season.
Let me ask Debro real quick before we move on. Like, Debro, I totally agree. I love Bateman coming out of Minnesota. I mean, like, I just didn't think he had really any holes in his game coming out of Minnesota, like inside outside versatility. And like right away when he came in, Tyler Johnson was like this star receiver. Tyler Johnson didn't fire in the NFL, but he was a great college receiver. And immediately when Bateman got there as a freshman, like, carved out this big role for himself. But were you at all worried that Ravens GM, like the criticism Bateman had for Ravens GM Eric DaCosta, like when he was kind of taking shots at DaCosta in the media, like did that worry you at all about, like, I don't know, Bateman's position on the team or his standing on the team and what that might mean for him going forward?
I'm not worried about it in the sense that all I see is a player that's fired up and he's ready to sit here and prove people wrong. Like, if that chip on Bateman's shoulder was the size of a quarter, it's the size of a damn Buick now. Like, he is ready and primed to go out and be like, look, like, screw all y'all, man. I'm going to prove all y'all wrong. The GM, the haters, everybody out on social, everybody saying that, like, we don't have wide receivers. We spent all these first round picks on guys. I think Bateman's going to blow up, and I think he's just going to rub it in everybody's face, and I'm so here for it.
Yeah, and we'll move on here now, but just to sort of put a bow on that, again, like, if he's complaining about what his usage was last year, they have a new offense now. And that will,
I think,
just bring so many opportunities. And I'm really excited for his season. Fitz, I know when we were talking pre-show, we thought there was kind of a clear top three names for this category. You had the misfortune of having to come up with the fourth name and final one of our third year wide receiver one breakouts. Who did you land on?
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy like I can actually make a case for, though, Worm. And like, not a guy who I necessarily think is ticketed for a wide receiver one season, but I see a plausible path, and that's Elijah Moore. As a rookie in 2021, he had that six-game stretch from week 18 to week 13, where he had 34 catches for 459 yards and five touchdowns, and was the wide receiver four in PPR fantasy scoring behind Justin Jefferson, Keenan Allen, and Cooper Kupp. And the quarterbacks who were throwing him the ball for the Jets during that six-game stretch, it was a potpourri of Zach Wilson, Mike White, Joe Flacco, and Josh Johnson. So, yeah, I mean, like, it was basically Jets quarterbacks doing two things during those 6 weeks, throwing to Elijah Moore and getting hurt. And last year we saw, like, it was a total disaster for Moore. Zach Wilson wasn't able to get him the ball. Moore didn't handle it well, basically forced to trade, and now he's on Cleveland. And I don't know exactly what sort of target share Elijah Moore is going to have this year in an offense that also includes Amari Cooper, David Njoku, Donovan Peoples-Jones. I don't know if Deshaun Watson is going to be the same quarterback he was a few years ago, or if this is the new reality that he's just not that good anymore. But I do know that Elijah Moore has already balled out and has shown us a pretty good stretch of wide receiver one play. And this dude just turned 23. I mean, there is still a lot of time for him to have wide receiver one production over his career. And hopefully he gets back on the right track after a bad 2021.
Yeah.
2022,
and
excuse me.
And they don't, you know, play the same role, but Cedric Tillman, another, you know, mouth to feed now in Cleveland, who's, you know, drafted by them. They didn't have many draft picks, but they used one on him. We've heard from Debro in previous episodes about Deshaun Watson. So just very quickly, because I think he will really be the key determining factor in how Elijah Moore's season goes. So Fitz, just on Deshaun, I know you mentioned you don't know what he's going to look like projecting out right now. Do you think he's going to be closer to pre-suspension Deshaun or to 2022 Deshaun?
I'm cautiously optimistic that he's going to be closer to pre-suspension Deshaun. There's no way I'm putting him anywhere in the top eight. Like, I think there's a pretty clear top tier. It's like basically Dak or Deshaun for the next guy after the top eight. And I've got Dak ranked ahead of Deshaun. Football's a hard game, man, especially for a quarterback and everything they have to go through to just be away from the game that long, not able to practice in a team environment at all. Like, I'm not surprised he struggled.
Before we move on to the second year breakouts, let's take a second to let everyone know that they can be the top dog this season with Fantasy Pros Best Ball Draft Kit at fantasypros.com/bestball, brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Check out our collection of rankings, strategy articles, and expert advice for free. Plus, premium subscribers get access to exclusive roster construction and draft strategy articles in the kit, along with AMAs with our analysts and more in our Discord community. Don't wait. Visit fantasypros.com/bestball and start building your winning best ball strategy today.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. when I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
So we're moving on to the potential second year wide receiver one breakouts here. These were the guys who were rookies last year, of course. Deeper, I'll start with you again.
There are so many wide receivers I can mention in this. I love, and this is something I want to point out in this episode too. If you take nothing else away from this episode, second and third year wide receivers are awesome bets to make in fantasy. Legit awesome bets to make. Even if you like hate the guy, get exposure to him. And the first I'm going to bring up, and I don't understand why people are still not on board with him, Fitz, this is for you, baby. Christian Watson is going to crush this season. Why? Because he crushed last season. Weeks 10 through 18, six games in that sample with 80% or more of the snaps. Christian Watson had a 23% target share, 42% end zone target share, 3.07 yards per route run. All of these numbers are fantastic. And people are so concerned about, okay, well, what about Jordan Love? And what is this offense going to look like? Okay, well, what about last year? Whenever Watson goes out, he drops a pass week one. Aaron Rodgers sticks him in the freaking doghouse. He deals with injuries upon injuries. And then finally, when we see him fully healthy and somewhat on the same page with Aaron Rodgers, then you see his talent unlocked. What about an entire offseason of him actually getting to work with his quarterback, who is not mercurial and is like, "Man, I don't like rookies." Jordan Love knows where, or he should, knows where his bread needs to be buttered, and that is with Christian Watson. Full offseason to sit there and build rapport. Say what you want about Jordan Love. I'm not expecting him to be a top-tier quarterback. I'm just asking for catchable targets. Put it in Watson's hands and let the man do work.
Fitz, I gave Debro a little leeway in the last section on Devontae Smith. I'm giving you some leeway here, too. Not that Wilson has been a wide receiver one yet, but it's Garrett Wilson is your next pick. Kind of low-hanging fruit, right?
Oh, my goodness. Ryan, this feels like starting a game of horse with a layup off the glass from underneath the hoop. I mean, this is just so easy. Like, he finished in wide receiver two range as a rookie with 83 catches for 1,103 yards and four touchdowns. I think we know the touchdowns are going up from there. You know, like after catching passes from Zach Wilson and Mike White last year, Garrett Wilson is now going to be catching passes from Aaron Rodgers. And maybe Rodgers is not the same guy he was 5 years ago, but he's still really good and can put the ball on the money. So this is absolutely an upgrade for Garrett Wilson. And the target competition, I really do think it's just kind of Jags around him. You know, like Alan Lazard, yes, he's familiar with Aaron Rodgers, but he's not a special player. Like, he's big and tall. Maybe he steals a few end zone looks. But
Pat, you're not worried about Randall Cobb? Randall Cobb?
Yeah. You know, like if we're going to call Odell Beckham washed, I think we probably have to lay out the same case that Randall Cobb is probably washed too. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be an all you care to eat target smorgasbord for Garrett Wilson this year, and like clear path to wide receiver one. And unfortunately, he's being treated like that in early drafts where, you know, you're lucky if he lasts to like the mid second round.
Yeah. In looking at how the Fantasy Pros guys rank him, you know, Debro has Wilson as wide receiver 15 right now. Fitz, you have him 10th, which is in line with consensus. Erickson's got him up at 5th. So Erickson is extremely excited about Garrett Wilson. And quite frankly, I probably am closer to Erickson on that than I would be to Debro down at 15. I just don't see any way that Garrett Wilson, like if he stays healthy, doesn't absolutely smash this year. It seems like a really obvious one. So we move on to the next player, and Debro, that is another guy that went early in last year's draft.
I don't understand how anybody would not be on the Chris Olave train. I mean, it is leaving the station. He is going to crush this year. And he falls in one of these buckets of like this second year wide receivers that I absolutely love that produced like future alphas last year. We're looking at, and I get it. I get it. He was wide receiver 25 in fantasy points per game. A lot goes into that as far as like quarterback play, touchdowns, things like that. You look at all the deeper metrics, Chris Olave crushed 15th in target share, 3rd in air yard share, 10th in yards per route run. If you look at open scores, he got open at the 7th highest rate amongst 81 qualifying wide receivers, right behind Stephon Diggs. That is fantastic. And I'm not sitting here telling you that Derek Carr is going to be one of these top shelf, like top 5, top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. Nobody should expect that. But what I think that Derek Carr can do is instill a little bit more confidence in this coaching staff to call more pass plays than they did last year with Andy Dalton. So in that instance, I think there's going to be more volume. Michael Thomas is a question mark at best. Who else is challenging him for a 25 to 27% target share? Quick answer. No one.
Yeah, I think you're selling Derek Carr short a little bit. Again, not that I think he's going to be some superstar or anything in New Orleans, but he is perfectly capable enough to let an alpha wide receiver be an alpha and have a smash season. Like, there is nothing. The quarterback will not be the reason that Olave doesn't succeed this year if he doesn't.
Agreed.
And that's all you can really ask for.
Can I hit up Debro with a follow-up question here? And Debro, I totally agree. I love Olave too. You know, happy to take him where he's being drafted, if not earlier. Mm-hmm. If Michael Thomas were to give us, say, 16 regular season games, and we know that is a monstrous if, do you think Chris Olave would still have a chance to finish as a wide receiver one?
I do, because I think that if you look at what Michael Thomas did in the very small sample that we got last year, his numbers were very wide receiver three-ish. Like, his yards per route run was hovering in the 1.6 to 1.7 range. His target share, all these different parts or pieces. He lived off of touchdowns, and that's what really helped him. I think if you're looking at Michael Thomas in this offense, and I project the offense, like right now on my rankings that are live, like I have Chris Olave, let me see, right now at wide receiver 12 in my rankings. And that is projecting a healthy Michael Thomas, because I think this version of Michael Thomas, he's a wide receiver 3. If anything, this opens up the offense and allows Olave to not only work underneath, but take off the top of defenses, which we saw last year. So Michael Thomas, to me, only helps Olave.
Fitz, give me your next receiver here.
It's Treylon Burks. And we did not get to see as much of Treylon Burks in his rookie year as we would have liked. He played 11 regular season games and only 393 snaps. Had some interesting flashes, but the sample size was really too small to draw definitive conclusions. But we do know that Treylon Burks was a big producer in his last 2 years at Arkansas. He's 6'2 and 224 pounds and really hard to tackle when he has the ball in his hands, and that the Titans spent mid first round draft capital on him. So what's really attractive here is the target outlook. And I try not to get too worked up about what sort of opportunities a player might have because of what his team's depth chart looks like. Like I like to, I prefer to go by talent and not depth charts when I'm evaluating players. But it's really hard to deny the sort of target potential that Treylon Burks has for the Titans this year when his target competition is Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Kyle Phillips, and Chig Okonkwo. I mean, it's not hard to imagine Treylon Burks getting 140 or more targets if he can stay healthy for a full season.
Woof.
How many times do I have to reiterate that there will be no Chig Okonkwo slander when I am hosting this show?
I love Chig, man.
That's
I mean, like
slander worm. He's just saying the rest of them are.
He's saying he's a nobody.
He's the number two
Kyle
target
Phillips
in this offense, probably.
Yeah. I mean, he probably is the number two, but even I just that's not even that threatening of a number two, though.
Yeah. No, that's fair. I got to defend my guy. D-Bro, give me your next player. And in this case, another guy who went in the first round last year.
Oh, man. People are probably sick of hearing me talk about him. But Drake London's talent skill set he's freaking awesome, man. He's absolutely awesome at everything. And I get he did not pop for us in fantasy last year. But if you look at all the other numbers about him, he's top 15 in PFF receiving grade, yards per route run. He got open at the 16th highest rate in the NFL last year. And I know people are going to bring up, well, I know Derek's probably going to talk about what he did down the stretch. And yeah, I've mentioned that a few times on the show. But they love to push back and say, well, that was without Kyle Pitts. Okay, without Kyle Pitts. Okay, well, let's look at what he did with Kyle Pitts on the field. Weeks 1 through 10, in the games where Kyle Pitts played 57% or more of the snaps, London had a higher target share, 28% to 26%, had a higher end zone target share, and he bested him in yards per route run. So, bring me your Kyle Pitts. I'll take your Kyle Pitts. And I'm still going to tell you that Drake London is the wide receiver one in this offense, and he has the talent to blow up this year. Yes, I know Desmond Ridder is not great. I don't care. I need volume. Give the man volume, and he was 22nd in raw target volume last year. So it's not like he got 80 targets. The volume ticks up just a little bit. He's going to crush.
I'm not doubting the talent, obviously, but you cannot have
waiting
a conversation about the Falcons without asking. You already touched on Ridder, but you have to also mention Bijan and the fact that they just took a running back in the top eight who's generational talent. And it's a head coach that you know loves to use a really good talented running back and run him into the ground. So even if Drake London is getting a decent target share in the offense, will there be enough volume, even with Ridder now instead of Mariota, for London to actually be a wide receiver one? Not that he can't be a really good contributor and maybe even a borderline league winner for your team, but can he be an actual wide receiver one?
I think he can. And Bijan, that's where a lot of this comes down. Like, how much of a target share does he get? Because you talked about it, Worm, like, Derrick Henry was not drawing targets. And I'm not saying Bijan is Derrick Henry, obviously. Bijan is a pass game weapon. He could be utilized in that. I think really where this comes down is, what is Desmond Ridder going to do? Is Desmond Ridder going to check down to Bijan? Or is he going to try to take off and run and get an easy 3 to 5 yards that way? It's still not a part of Ridder's game that we've seen really utilized. I think that could take a step forward. And so you won't see as many dump off targets to Bijan as you will short area targets to Drake London.
Pat, your last second year breakout.
It's Jahan Dotson. And he only played 12 games as a rookie, but he scored 7 touchdowns and had 5 weeks as a top 20 scorer at the wide receiver position. I mean, he's fast. He's a good route runner. He's really good after the catch. And for a smaller receiver, he is surprisingly good in contested catch situations. He's got that Tyreek Hill, my ball mentality on balls in the air. And yes, Terry McLaurin is there too, and he's really good in his own right. And Sam Howell, they're going to be breaking in at quarterback. And, you know, we don't know what that's going to look like. So the ecosystem might not allow for a wide receiver one season for Jahan Dotson just yet, but I'm excited about his career trajectory. I do think they're going to be wide receiver one seasons in his future, and you never know if it might happen sooner than we expect. Injuries happen. Maybe some other wide receivers on Washington get hurt. Maybe Sam Howell's a lot better than most of us are anticipating. But I'm very excited about Jahan Dotson and happy to bet on the talent.
Pat, I love the call on Dotson, man. I was... I was out on him earlier in the offseason, and after I went back and I looked back what he did down the stretch, I'm in on him this year. I mean, you're looking at weeks 13 through 18. He was 20th in target share, 3rd in end zone target share, and 17th in weighted opportunity, as well as saying he was top 15 in yards per route run. I think that over versus like his full season numbers is a much clearer picture of what his upside could be. So I love the call of Dotson.
I was just going to say, it seems like the markets have been really slow to warm to Jahan Dotson. Like, it doesn't seem to be happening this year. And last year, I mean, people were drafting Sky Moore ahead of him, even though Dotson was a mid first round pick and Sky Moore was like a mid second round pick. So
I think it's notable that there were 7 receivers taken in the top 34 picks of the 2022 draft. We talked about 6 of them. The one that we didn't talk about, I just want to quickly ask, Jameson Williams, obviously he's not going to be wide receiver 1 on the season given the suspension. If the suspension wasn't in place, would either of you have considered him for this spot?
Yeah, I would have. I would have definitely considered him. I mean, we saw what Detroit did last year. I think their pass rate goes up. We know all the other parts or pieces are there. I would definitely put JMO in this bucket.
Fitz?
Yeah, like the talent is he's on par with Devontae Smith in terms of talent. And some people, you know, from the Alabama program would argue that he's more talented. So he would have merited consideration without question.
All right, let's get to our rookie potential wide receiver 1 breakout rankings. We don't have a ton of time, so I'll provide the rankings for you guys. And then I want to focus on where you guys differ. So D-Bro's top 5 in order from 1 to 5, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Quentin Johnston, Jordan Addison, Zay Flowers, and Rashee Rice. Pat's is Jordan Addison, Zay Flowers, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Quentin Johnston, and Jaden Reed. So we actually have a lot of differences here. And Debra, I want to start at the top because you have JSN, even though he's in a situation where he is at least entering the year wide receiver 3 on the depth chart. Fitz, you've got him down at 3. Debra, what's the difference there? What are you seeing that Fitz isn't?
I think that he's going to be a full-time player. I'm not buying all this BS out of Pete Carroll that like, oh, we're going to run all this 12 personnel and stuff like that. What do you think Pete's going to tell the media? If you're going to go out there and run 11 personnel 99% of the time, are you going to say, yep, tight ends are going to get marginalized? No, I'm all in on JSN.
Pete does love his 2 tight end sets though, D-Bro. He's got to get Will Disley on the field, man.
Pete also likes talent. Chris Carson should have showed us something. Talent wins out, and JSN has the talent to be a full-time starter.
The other guy that D-Bro is higher on is Quentin Johnston. He's got him at 2. Fitz has got him down at 4. So, Fitz, what are you not seeing with Johnston that D-Bro is?
Yeah, just the target ambiguity. If we get something close to full seasons of good health for both Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. Like, I just don't know if he gets to, like, 100 targets.
I thought you were the QJ's fan. Why are you burying him? I thought you loved him so much. Like, I remember drunken conversations about your love for QJ, and now I'm defending the man. What happened?
I know. I'm just, I'm a little concerned about what the year 1 target outlook is like for QJ. That's it. I do believe in the talent, but I just wonder if, you know, Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are both healthy all year, if he can get to 100 targets. I don't know that he can.
The other 2 guys that were taken in the first round of the draft, Fitz is higher on. Fitz has Addison at 1. Debra, you've got him down at 3. So Fitz, make the case for Addison as the rookie with the best chance of finishing as a wide receiver 1 this year.
I think Justin Jefferson is going to make life really easy for Jordan Addison, and that he's going to get coverage from a lot of inferior cornerbacks. And we've kind of seen these big seasons from the complimentary receiver in Minnesota when it was Adam Thielen. A lot of it was touchdown fueled. And I don't know if Addison gets quite the same attention in the, close to the goal line, the red zone and the green zone that Thielen got since he's a smaller receiver. But man, a lot of it would just be like Thielen lines up in the slot, depending on where the cornerback is lined up, either as inside or outside leverage. Cousins finds him right away. And I could see Jordan Addison scoring 6 touchdowns on plays like that. So, you know, I think it would have to be very heavily touchdown fueled, but I think there's a path for Addison. And like, I'm not really, if I had to put a bet down, I'm thinking no rookie wide receiver gets to tight end wide receiver 1 range this year. But if I was going to put a bet down on any one receiver to do it in his rookie year this year, I think it would be Addison.
He's got the clearest
path. Just to note, there have been five of them in the last 11 seasons. Five rookies that have been wide receiver ones the past 11 seasons.
Better wide receiver classes probably than this one, though.
Four of the five were first-round picks. The fifth was a second. And then the other guy that you guys differ on, Zay Flowers. Fitz, you have him up at second. Debra, you have him down at fourth. But Debra, I'm curious about that because I know that you really liked Zay during the pre-draft process.
I mean, I think that Zay has the talent, but... Again, I talked about it earlier in this show. I think it's Rashad Bateman season, man. I think that he has the talent and the opportunity and the rapport with Lamar that if we're looking for one guy to step up in that offense opposite Mark Andrews, I think it's Bateman.
And as I mentioned, you guys each have two different players in the fifth spot. Obviously, you have the four first rounders as your first four, just in very different orders. Debro, you've got Rashee Rice. Pat, you've got Jaden Reed. So kind of go head to head here. Make the case for your guy over the other in that fifth spot.
Go ahead, Pat. Beauty before age. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, like, there's just so little pass catching depth on the Green Bay depth chart. Like, it's – and, man, what a ridiculously young pass catching group with basically Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, and Jaden Reed at wide receiver. And then the two rookie tight ends they drafted this year. So that's pretty much it. And Reed had 56 catches for 797 yards and 8 touchdowns as an 18-year-old freshman at Michigan State playing against Big Ten competition. So this guy's really quick and really explosive. And, you know, with just so little target competition, he's going to get on the field. And, you know, if he can absorb things quickly, like I think he has a chance to be a year one contributor.
Debro, your rebuttal?
I mean, this begins and ends with Patrick Mahomes, right? Like that's what people are expecting me to say. But really, this comes down to Rashee Rice. Worm, you talked about Juju being the closest thing that we've seen to amassing, stepping up next to Kelsey. I think Rashee Rice was drafted to be Juju's replacement in the sense that I think that he, if you look at his career at SMU, last year, all outside. The year before that, slot player. And he excels. The guy has been top five, top 10 in yards per route run against zone coverage. I think that he has a path to take over that Juju role and be a full-time player from day one. And again, if we're going to make a bet for a wide receiver one to come out of a class, I'm betting on not only that player, but I'm betting on the offensive system and that environment and the touchdown expectations that are tied to it. So hell yeah, I'm going to bet on Kansas City. Let's go.
Debro, Andy Reid laid down a bear trap for you that took the form of Skylar Moore. You walked right into it. The trap mangled your leg, and now you're ready to walk right into the same bear trap under a different name.
Pat, I got one leg, baby. I got one leg left, and if I got to hop into this, I'm going to hop. Don't care.
I'm excited to go back a year from now and look and see who was right, because we threw out a lot of names, and I think there's a lot of potential here with the guys we threw out. That is going to wrap it up for us today. Great show as always. Please, everybody, remember to check out our Dynasty Draft Kit and our Best Ball Draft Kit, which is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. For Fitz and Debro, I am Ryan Wormley. We'll see you guys again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Mow, dig, haul, lift. The versatile Kubota BX Series subcompact tractor does it all. Switching attachments is simple, and a smooth hydrostatic transmission makes for easy operation. The Kubota BX Series, rated number one in durability and owner experience. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
CEC Turf and Tractor. On the web at CECTurfandTractor.com.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff.
Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.